When her mother had died in December 1926, her spirits darkened further. Yet Edna had hope. Hadn't that company doctor, Dr. Flynn, told her she was in perfect health? She took the prescribed drugs for her anemia and followed her doctor's orders. And then, one night in May 1927, as she groped in the dark for her medicine on the bureau, she caught sight of herself in the mirror. At first, she might have wondered if it was her mother, Minnie, returned from the grave to haunt her. But in the dead of night, in the dead of dark, a ghost girl glowed in the mirror. Edna screamed and fainted, for she knew exactly what her shining bones foretold, shimmering through her skin. She knew that glow. Only one thing on earth could make that glimmer. Radium. She went back to Dr. Humphreys and told him what she'd seen, how much pain she was in. And there, at the Orange Orthopaedic Hospital, she said, "I heard Dr. Humphreys talking with another doctor. He told the doctor I was suffering from radium poisoning. That is the first I knew of it." Edna was a peaceful and resigned woman. She later said, "I'm religious. Perhaps that is why I'm not angry at anyone for what has occurred." But that didn't mean she didn't feel it was unjust. She went on, "I feel that someone should have warned us. None of us knew that paint paste was dangerous. We were only girls, 15, 17 and 19 years old." Maybe that innate sense of injustice was why, in June 1927, only a month after receiving her diagnosis, Edna and Louis Hussman made their way to Raymond Berry. There were five of them now. Five girls crying out for justice. Five girls fighting for their cause. Grace, Catherine, Quinta, Albina and Edna. The newspapers went mad, inventing memorable monikers to define this new quintet. And so, in the summer of 1927, it became official. The case of the five women doomed to die had now begun. Chapter 25. The company executives, it would be fair to say, were taken completely by surprise by the five lawsuits. In fact, they dubbed it a conspiracy, cooked up by what they termed Berry's outfit. Their previous unshakable confidence in rejecting all pleas for clemency had been based upon the fact that the statute of limitations had made them, in their eyes, invincible. But now, with Berry's adroit interpretation of the law, they were left scrambling for their defence. It was, perhaps, inevitable who they would blame. The plaintiffs, the firm alleged in their reply to the girls' claims, were guilty of contributory negligence in failing to exercise due care and precaution for their safety. And the corporation went further. It denied that the girls were ever instructed to lip point. It denied any woman in the studio did. It denied the radium powder clung to them. On and on, denial after denial, for pages and pages of legalese. The company admitted only one thing. It gave no warning. That was because it denied that radium was dangerous. Such denials, such outright lies, one might say, comprised its written fight back through the law, yet that was only the start of the firm's attempt to take control of the situation. Now faced with the women squaring up to it in court, it fought back behind their backs. Miss Rooney, the former forelady of USRC, who was a good friend of Edna Hussman, was surprised when one of her erstwhile bosses suddenly appeared at Luminite and asked to speak to her.